Our King and glorious God, we bless your name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now the weight of your glory covers. Yes, and now the life of your river. Oh, it flows. And now the truth of your kingdom raising up. And now the weight of your glory. Now the weight of your glory.
Amen. You may be seated, amen. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed in this service today. You're going to live with more glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we worship you. We thank you so much for the heritage that we have. It's a goodly heritage. The lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. And so we come in order under the covering of our fathers and of the Lord Jesus Christ and beseech you for fresh mercy. So go into your word this morning. I recognize my limitations, infirmities, and frailties. And Father, I, Lord, put my confidence in your mercy. Mercy to enable me stand in your presence as an oracle of God. So that as I open my mouth, you will speak through me. Let your word comfort with power, with anointing, with clarity, with simplicity, with the love, the comfort, and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with that revelation insight, our emotions controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that self will decrease and Christ will increase in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, Lord, on the covering of our fathers, let your power follow the word everywhere it goes. And it will break yokes. Lord, it will heal bodies. It will open up minds. It will remove the veil. It will strengthen our willingness to be doers of all that we hear. And not hearers only, so that we will bring forth the fruit thereof and be blessed in all our deed in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you for mercy. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. Holy Spirit, I give you full control of my faculties and my mind and my heart. Speak through me. Help me to redeem the time. Not saying unnecessary things. And make me a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Bringing forth out of the treasure of this word, under your leading and guidance, the treasures of this word and things new and old, causing Jesus to be glorified. And the sons of men to be blessed and edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to Bible study this morning. And in our last lesson, we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And last lesson, we were in chapter 2, looking at verses 3 to verse 6. And we saw in our last lesson that God has a pattern for raising up true ministers of the gospel. They're true ministers and they are false ministers. And in the true ministry, God's pattern is that he plants them under tutors and governors for a while and prepares them under them and then tests them. You have to test the product. Bible says, let him first be proved. That's what the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Pastors have to be proved. Apostles have to be proved. Evangelists have to be proved. Prophets have to be proved. You have to prove to find out whether it meets the divine standard. Because that's what God is doing. And then when it's proven, then God puts the stamp on it, which is the anointing, and then the word. Amen? And that word comes out. And this is the word that they've been practicing. So it takes practice, consistent practice of the word you have been taught over time to grow. And when we now grow in God's own sovereignty, he then calls some. Bible says he calls some apostles, some prophets, some pastors. All right, but the important thing is that all of us are growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we don't necessarily have to serve in public ministry, but so much as we are Christians, we are growing. Amen. And in your respective position that God has planted you, you will be an apostle to some. You'll be a prophet to some. You'll be a teacher to some. You'll be a pastor to some. That's the gospel. Amen. And that's what God is doing. So this is what God does. He prepares them, tests them. And when they pass, then he launches them out. So the pulpit is not a place to show off. It's not a place to show off your public speaking skills and your poetic ability. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what the pulpit is for. The pulpit is a grave spiritual responsibility to minister the life and the truth of the Word of God to God's people, to feed them, to strengthen them, to guide them so that they can enter into their destiny. That's what it is. It's not a show place where you just say words and call things and people are like clapping and entertainment. No way. It's a place where destinies are being decided by every word you speak. And so you must stand under God with that understanding that God is through you shaping people's lives. How can you use poetry to do that? You can't use poetry to do that. You can't use possibility. You can't do that. You need the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen. And God's going to... So that's what God does. And for this to be achieved effectively, that is through ministers, God prepares both the vessel and the message. And once they're prepared, he keeps refining. It's not a once-for-all process. It's continuous. So that you keep... And how does God do that, basically? It is through deep prayer in the Spirit and the ministry of the Word. You know, because the Bible says deep calls unto deep. They pray with travail. And they pray, you know, in that deep place, they destroy the veil of the flesh over their own hearts and their own lives so they can see God with an open face. Then with that open face, that image that they see, they then come and declare it unto you. The Bible says, that which we have heard, declare we unto you. So we declare what we have heard in the closet. We don't declare what we read somebody else preached. We don't declare what somebody heard. We don't declare what we saw in the newspaper. We declare what we got in God's closet. Amen. All right? And when the message comes out, God is checking. We saw that from First Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And it says, God is our witness. It says we are allowed of God, as we are allowed of God. So it means that you can't say what you like. You can only say what God allows you to say. Amen? All right? And if you didn't remember to say it, then God doesn't want you to say it. It's just the way it is. So God keeps checking, and he checks the motive. The motive is to please God, not to please man. All right? God checks their method. The method is that the way what you're preaching must not contradict the character of God, which is loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, and the letter of the scripture in that order. And then God also checks their means. The means is that you must do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by oratorial skill. God checks motive, method, and means. He's not just checking for the means, he checks for all of us. What's your motive for what you're doing? What's the method for what you're doing? What's the means for what you're doing? So that everything is done in a pattern, it is then that you get a reward. Amen. All right, so we saw that. And we saw last lesson, we saw negative example of Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Gehazi went and collected, you know what it is, you know, 419 kickback from Laman the Syrian. And Elisha asked him, where did you go? He said, I didn't go anywhere. He said, went not my heart with you? When you went, is it a time to collect bedclothes? Is it a time to collect food? Is it a time to collect? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman be unto you. That's God's system. If they had released Gehazi into ministry, imagine the kind of minister he would have been. So that's why God has a system where you understudy. And that system, it filtered out Gehazis. They were filtered out. They didn't come out into full ministry. When you do it God's way, you get God's results. Amen? So the way to stay on point, because some people start well and they veer off because they don't stay with prayer and the Word. So we must keep staying with prayer and the Word. When you have the Word of truth and the power of God, you stay on the straight and narrow path to the end. God helps you to stay on the straight and narrow path unto the end. But when you don't, then you're not staying holding on to the truth. Allows you to be deceived. We saw that last week. No, deception comes in, you know, and delusion. You know, you are, first of all, you are deceived. Then after you are not, well, you are not even deceived again. But you've gone too far to come back. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. And then we all, today we just look at a good example. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. We see Paul talking about Timothy. Using Timothy as an example. We'll be Timothy's in Jesus' name. Alright? And give it to me. Yes. For I have no man. You're not reading with me this morning. For I have no man. See the word there. Like-minded. Who will what? Naturally care for your state. Next verse. Next verse. For all, the all there means, it tells you the proportion. There's a majority. For all do what? Seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. What are Jesus Christ? Your soul. Your soul. The prosperity of your soul. That's Jesus. That's Jesus' prime responsibility. He will bless you. He will punish you. He will make you go through things for the prosperity of your soul. To build Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how it works. Right, but not many people are like that. So, but we see that Timothy was like, so God's system produces the pure and it shuts out the impure. But there are some who don't go through God's way. This is the issue. They call themselves into ministry, okay? Because they're seeking the glory of man. And then they use flattery. We saw that last week. I'm not going to do it in detail. And a cloak of covetousness. Flattery is praising people, you know, insincerely beyond what they deserve. So it tells you, an excellent example of this is Absalom. Absalom, 2 Samuel 15, very quickly. Absalom sat in the gate. Nobody called him there. He went and sat there himself. You need to be quicker. 2 Samuel 15, verses 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him what? Chariots and horses and how many men? 50. Pentecost. The Pentecostal move. You can see it there. All right. Next verse. Quick. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy and came to the king for judgment, Absalom called him and said, of what city art thou? Thy servant is of one of the tribes. Next verse. Absalom said, see, thy matters are good and right. That, you know, he didn't tell him, he didn't judge him according to the word, just told him immediately, your matter is good and right. You know, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Next verse, making a case for himself. And Absalom said, oh, that I were made a judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Painting themselves in a good light. This is the false ministry. Okay, next verse. And so it was that when any man came down to him, he put it on and took it out and kissed him. Next verse. Quickly. And on this manner did what? Absalom to who? All Israel, the church. Okay? That came to the king for judgment. So Absalom did what? Stole the hearts of the men of Israel. While there was a king in power. His own daddy. His own spiritual father. Imagine how a father would have cared for his son. And a son, that's what people are doing now. People are taking churches from people that put them there. Oh yes, people are sliding people out of their churches. It's clear. That's why you see a signboard, big signboard, that this church belongs to, belongs to Jesus Christ. And is well able to take care of what's going on. In fact, it's taking care of it. And you can see that even though hitherto it worked for some time for Absalom, but very soon, if they don't repent quickly, God's going to judge it. In fact, he's already judging it. And how is God judging it? Through the mouth of kings, through spiritual leadership, he's judging the spirit of Babylon that is giving them the power to do what they're doing. That's how Absalom did what he was doing. There was a spirit that Absalom was tapping into that was affecting the hearts of the people and stealing them away. But it's not going to work anymore. Because we're in a day of light. And you can see the end of Absalom. We're not going to turn to it because it's in 2 Samuel 18, verse 9. Absalom got trapped in an oak. Bible says that when a man grows from mustard seed, he will become a tree. And he's spread out his branches. His hair, which is given him for a covering, was caught in the oak. So it was hanging between heaven and earth. God is arresting them in this day. They're not going to go any further. Amen. And that's the will of God. So God enjoins all of us to stay faithful. Keep your eyes on God through diligent fellowship as we pray and study the word. Now we're going to verse 7 today. Let's turn there. Verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Gentleness. Verse 7. First, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Next verse. And so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us. It's talking about the love and affection that true spiritual leadership have for the flock of God. Next verse. Verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and, not just day, night and day, because we will not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Now let's start here. Gentleness. Let's go back to, you can see the analogy there as a nurse cherishing her children. Imagine a mother with her children. I'm sure you know, and the child, you know, regurgitates food, you know, and it gets on her clothes. It's not a big deal. The mother just smiles and removes it. Okay, and the child poo-poos and all that, just while she's trying to put on, I mean, poo-poo's in her hand. Oh, you this boy. No, you started again. You this naughty thing that you're doing. And play with his cheeks and pull his cheeks. And then you did it deliberately. And the baby will be laughing. It's gentleness. The child is doing things that are very inconvenient. But the parent is responding with gentleness. That's how God is. That's how true ministers of God are. He's giving you us the picture to see. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It is the patience and compassion of God in action. Okay, it is God loving his children. He loves his children dearly. Okay, and feels everything they feel. When you're hurting, God feels your hurt. When you're confused, God doesn't like it. He doesn't derive any pleasure from seeing you. There is no pain. Even us, we don't derive pleasure from our children going through difficult situations or going through inconvenient situations. We don't. Same thing with God. Much more so, God. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he responds with compassion. But that compassion is directed by divine wisdom. God looks and checks. So wisdom is, because you know God has three parts. What is love? God is love, okay? But God, love is three things. It is discerning by wisdom, desiring by compassion, and doing by power what God will do in every situation. It's Bible study. So that's love. And gentleness is now God's compassion in action. But compassion doesn't just work like that. It works along the path that wisdom has directed that it should work. This is how God does it. And so God is willing to reach out to all, to save all, to encourage all, to spare all, to help all, to deliver all, to take all to the fullness of Christ. All, provided they are willing to forsake sin. This is the condition. And that's why you see sometimes God is selective. You know, so God is willing, he will move heaven and earth to help if you are willing. As the Bible says, his eyes search to and fro to show those whose heart is perfect, willing to do God's will. This is the issue, all right? So, no, he's going to help you forsake sin, it's going to help you grow, it's going to help you escape destruction, so long as you're willing. Brethren, let's remain willing, amen? We must not give up. Look at Matthew 12, verse 18 to 21. No, don't let the devil tell you when you make a mistake. You see, and you're all useless. I don't know whether the devil doesn't talk to you like that, but he tells me those kind of things. You see, if it was you, will you forgive? Ask yourself, be honest. If it was you, will you forgive? It's not about me or what I think. It is about what God said. If I confess my sins, he's what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And Bible says that blood will make me perfect to do his will. No matter where I'm falling from, God will raise me up. If I am willing. Matthew 12. Yes, give it to me. Thank you, you're there. 18. Let's read it together. Behold my servants, whom I have chosen. How many servants do I see? You. All right? It's talking about Jesus, but that attribute applies to all of us. Amen? Applies to true spiritual fathers, depending on how you grow into it. All right? And whom I have chosen. My beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. So, this is my beloved son. So, it's talking about maturity here. It's the measure of maturity here. Okay? All right? I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show what? Judgment to the Gentiles. Next verse. That judgment is not punishment. It's the altogether true and righteous judgment of God. God sees the end from the beginning. Knows where you started, knows where you are, knows the challenges you are, knows the infirmities. He knows what is against you. It's that judgment. Men can't see the whole picture, but God can. And God responds in the light of the whole picture. Men see a part and respond to a part, but God sees the full picture. And he shows the full picture to true spiritual oversight. Amen. Bible says, he shall not strive, nor cry. Now shall any man hear his voice in the streets. They don't make noise. They don't advertise. You won't even know they're there. True spiritual fatherhood. Father ministries. You don't hear their voice. Next verse. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he what? Send forth God's judgment into victory. This is the essence of the mercy of God. Verse 21. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That is the will of God. So the purpose of the gentleness is to bring the Gentiles to trust in the name. Everything has a purpose. That is the purpose of God. Amen. And look at an example, John chapter 5, verse 3. We see that God is selective because it's the willingness of the heart that God can see that man cannot see. Like we know in John chapter 5, we know there was a pool of Bethesda, Solomon's porch. And there's in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Next verse. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease that he had. Next verse. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity. How many years? 38 years. The man was there for 38 years. Some of us are not 38. The man was there for all your lifetime, waiting for the moving of the water. Before he gets there, there's nobody to put him there. All right? So God said, no. This must change. Verse 8. When Jesus saw him lie there, give me verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie, I knew he had been now a long time in darkness. How did he know that? God told him. Holy Spirit told him. He said unto him, "Will thou be made whole?" That's God. He's not going to just say, "Be made whole." He wants to check whether there is a willingness. Do you really want to be whole? Or are you okay here with the little 10 naira, 5 naira, 15 naira, 20 naira that you're collecting? And God is asking us today, brethren, do you really want to be whole? Do you want to be dependent on men? Or do you want to be dependent on God? Do you want God to help? Now, you will still need men. But some men make you dependent on them. And some men set you free so that you can find God for yourself. Depending on what are you going to choose? Somebody do your praying for you. They will do your fasting for you. All you do is pay money. Will thou be made whole? The man had the right answer. Next verse. The man said, "Sir, I have no man." Jesus said, "You don't understand." Verse 8. "Rise up, take up thy bed and walk." Next verse. And immediately, the man did what? Was made whole. Took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. We are in a Sabbath day. All the lame are walking, provided they're willing. You will walk in righteousness in Jesus' name. You will walk in obedience in Jesus' name. You will walk in love in Jesus' name. That's the purpose of God. It's not to sit down there and let somebody be doing everything for you. That's not God's pattern. That's compassion. We also see the story of the woman in John chapter 8. We're not going to turn there. The woman was caught in the act of adultery. And they came and said, "Moses' law said she should be stoned." But that law wasn't the full picture. Where's the law of love? Where's the law of mercy? Where's the man she was there with? There were questions unanswered. But so Jesus calmed down and he had to acknowledge God in all his ways. and was making as he was writing this song, to acknowledge God and get God's mind. That's compassion in action. Doesn't just go. Doesn't just give. It checks. Am I doing the will of God? Holy Spirit, is this what you want me to do? Amen. And then he responded and said, the person that doesn't have, she threw the first stone. Of course, we know the story. They went away from the eldest to the youngest. And when she was alone, he asked her, woman, where are your accusers? Have they condemned him? They said, no, man. And then the one person who could condemn her, like Pastor preached, the one person who could condemn her said, go and sin no more. The essence of compassion is so that you can forsake sin. That's gentle. So gentleness separates, is the delicate operation of separating the sinner from his sin, even though he's very weak. It's a complex, delicate operation, and God is an expert at it. All right? And so God's going to save us in Jesus' name. This is the true stamp of mature ministers. Apart from the word, the quality of the word that you hear, you also see the fruit of the Spirit in operation. Gentleness. They forbear infirmities. They respond with forgiveness. I don't know how many of us have had interaction, direct interaction. You know, you've done things, you've made mistakes, and you thought that, well, all right, they're going to cut off my head. I mean, if it was me, I'd just cut off the person's head, you know. And, you've exhausted mercy. Brethren, it's a lie. You can't exhaust the mercy of God. Hallelujah. It's unending. Insofar as you're willing. Forever. Thank you. You get corrected, certainly. No, but also you get love. And then they pray for you. It is that prayer that ministers life, that raises you out of that fault, raises you out of that sin. Now, all you see on the outside is the harsh word of correction, like Paul and John Mark. John Mark, when we were going on ministry, John Mark turned back. We don't have time to turn to it because John Mark turned back. And so when they were going, Paul and Barnabas, Paul said, look, we're not taking John Mark with us because the boy is not faithful. And we can't go to a foreign land and have somebody behind us and be looking behind us. We are facing the enemy. The Satan is there. We're facing people. And then we have this guy here. No, it's a liability. And because he was Barnabas's nephew, Barnabas took it personal. See, that's what the carnal mind does. When you get corrected, you take it personal. They're saying it because they don't like me. They like so XYZ more than me. I don't know whether Satan has told you that. Hello. It's the same gospel. He doesn't have a new gospel. This is the gospel he has been preaching. All right. He said they like this person more than you. They like that person more than you. You know, this is because they have their favorite. They have their favorite. No, you can be just as favorite as anybody else. God has no favorites. And if the favorite is someone that loves God more than you. So instead of getting angry and getting offended, love God more. Amen. Simple. All right. So it is that correction that makes us grow. In fact, if you understand that gentleness is the intercessory ministry of Jesus coming into our lives. Amen. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Every time you offend and they correct and they ask life and pray for you, you don't see that. That's in the background. The Bible calls it secret love. But yeah, open rebuke. No. So open rebuke is better than secret love. But the best is open rebuke and secret love. Pastor has told us that. Say, wherefore? I can't hear you. Wherefore? He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How does he make that intercession? Through the Holy Spirit. Spirit doesn't speak of himself. So the Spirit gives you utterance. So when they are praying for you, when you are praying for somebody else, guess what? You are showing them compassion. You are giving them life. That's walking in the Spirit, asking life for people. It makes people stronger. You don't have to be there physically. You don't have to know what they're going through. Paul was not where John Mark was. John Mark went back home. But Paul kept praying for John Mark. And later in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, send me John Mark. Because he's now profitable for me in the ministry. What happened? The intercessory ministry of Jesus had transformed John Mark from a reed into a rock. That's true father ministries. That's what they do, all right? Acts 15. No, let's look at 2 Timothy 4:1. No, 4:11. 4:11. 2 Timothy 4:11. So you can see, put some scripture behind it. So you can understand this is what God is doing. God doesn't want all his children to remain children. He wants them to grow up, to become young men. Grow up to become mature and spiritual fathers. God doesn't want a house full of children. If you have a house full of children, what are you going to get? And this one is poo-pooing. This one is fighting. This one is arguing. This one is taking someone else's thing. When are we going to do that until? No, the church has to grow. Amen. All right. So only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me to the ministry. There was a time when he was unprofitable. And there was a time when he became profitable. God will make us profitable sons in Jesus' name. And also our own precious parents, Pastor and Mommy. Amen. I'm sure you, chance after chance, you know, they keep showing us mercy, and it's their gentleness that makes us great. Amen. That's where we, that's why we're here. And you can see that. Let's look at Psalm 18, verse 35 and 36. Psalm 18. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, thou hast also given me the shield of salvation and thy right hand. What's thy right hand? Intercession. Has what? Holding me up, and thy gentleness had made me great. So it works together. The care on the outside, the intercession on the inside, it raises us up. Amen. And that's true ministry. Amen. So we also must show gentleness to people around you. As you have freely received, freely give. So you forbear, you tolerate, you endure, you be patient, you forgive, you give another chance. But then you didn't say amen. When I was saying you are the recipient, you were saying amen. Now I'm saying you should give, and you are looking at me. Eh? I said you must forbear. Amen. You must show mercy. Amen. You must give. Amen. Another chance. Amen. And another chance. Amen. 70 times 7 in one day. Amen. So that your own gentleness will make somebody else great. And then have a church of great people. But it says a great people and a strong. Because of the love in the air. Love is in the air, provoking unity of the spirit. Amen. Now, there's a word of caution here. There's a distortion of this gentleness thing that some children and some pastors and some people don't believe in correcting or disciplining in the name of love. Yes, so, for one, Rallory, I know you made a mistake, so you know they rub him on the head. Oh, don't worry there. No, that standard is too high. It's okay, I understand. And in some churches, no, particularly with young people, they let young people get away with it. The Bible says that you should flee youthful lust. They create an avenue for young people to indulge in youthful lust. In the name of, oh, we understand that you are a different generation. It's not true. You know, it's the devil, actually. You must understand it. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Thank you. You need to be quicker. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My gentleness is making you great. Thank you. Proverbs 13, 24. Thank you. All right. Now, give it to me in the message. Message, first of all. A refusal to correct is a what? Refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. How else will you separate the foolishness that's in their heart? The scripture says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will what? Drive it, not just away, far from him. So when you don't love, when you don't correct them, you know what? You don't really love them. When you don't correct your friends, guess what? You don't really love them. With friends like you, they don't need enemies. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because you need to tell your friend, you need to tell your Nathan told them, David, respectfully, thou art the man. Ogamisa, enleshe, looking at the floor, because God sent him. You have to be a good friend. This rubbing people on the head, you know, supporting them no matter what, is not the love of God. Love is directed by wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. If you show love and remove wisdom, you have a mess on your hands. Humanism. That's what you end up with. Verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Thank you. Move on. First, we've left this. Thank you. Move on. Next verse. I appreciate that. Thank you. You have to be gentle. Amen. Verse 8, the next one. Thank you. So being affectionately desirous of you, who are willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us. See, Paul's ministry was outward towards the people. It wasn't inward to get. See, you must understand, the false ministry wants to get. They are giving to get back. It's a cloak of covetousness. It's all about getting. So the reason I give is the reason I'm giving is because I want to get. So I'm giving, and that's why they raise up Christians like that. You know, they're giving to the offering so they can get something back. You know, they're not giving like I'm giving to God. Of course, if you give, you get good measure, press down, shake it down. Do you understand what I mean? But it's not all coming in one day. Again, that's the motive. It's coming in your lifetime. Some will come in cash, some will come in kind, some will come in protection, some will come in favor, some will come upon your generation. That's God's style. You know, so this system of giving, that's where it's wrong. This is Christ-centered. And Christ is the pattern. Bible says the Spirit of Christ must be in the ministers of God. You know, Bible says bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There is a law in Christ. It's the law of giving. The whole idea is to give. I give. You know, you don't give something and hold on to the rope. Oh, yeah, my own back. Oh, good measure. Hey, I mean, cocon. Oh, man, you press down. Me, my TV, good measure. I haven't seen good measure. And I'm there saying, press down. Hey, God is wasting my time. Oh. And we veer off into irreverence. Yes. Because we are expecting. Is it wrong to expect? Not wrong to expect. But you do not give because you want to get. That motive is wrong. You give in obedience to the word. This is the issue. And that little motive thing, it frustrates us because the Bible says that you ask and receive and you will not get. Because God is looking at the motive. And so the more you pray, the further it is from you. If you are under proper true oversight. Otherwise, Babylon kicks in and you get it. And it reinforces a lie. God will have mercy on us. Alright. So this speaks of spiritual leaders who demonstrate God's love in a clear, unmistakable way. Beyond preaching the word, they give of themselves. They give of their heart. And brethren, I thank God for our fathers. I thank God. I must confess. God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pastor and Mommy, I'm sure you have it in your own experience. They give of themselves, of their time, to listen to what you have to say, of the truth that God has put in their heart. They will tell you their own personal experience. You will see their life played out like a book. All right, you see their love. They give of their substance. They're with you when this happens to you. When you are strong, when you are alone, when you need help, when you need someone to talk to, when you have family issues, when some things look delayed, they're there for us. They're always there for us. They're willing to give not just of the word of God. This one goes beyond reason. It goes beyond ministry. It goes beyond what you deserve. It goes beyond convenience. They just give. My own personal example. Some years ago, a lot of stuff happens to people, amen? And when stuff happens, you run to where there is help. You run to a place of refuge. And I had a house of my own, but Pastor took me in. They took me into their home. So they now had 5 children. They had Itunoluwa, Oluwadara, Munyoluwa, Josholubi, and Kunle. We ate the same food. We slept in the same house. They gave me my own place separate under the same covering of house for years. I was there for over 6 years. 6 years. When there is correction, we're there together. When we are laughing, watching movie, we're there together. They didn't have to do that. They could have shown me love and said, okay, we support you. Come for encouragement. It's okay. Stay close to us and all that. They called, they insisted, no, leave that place. pack some things, leave the place there, I know it's there, and come and stay here. And they breathe on me. They breathe on me. And set my life back around. Now it's not only me. Because I can ask you, you have your story. Everybody has their story. If we start talking from now till 12:30, we will be here. Amen. Yourself, your children, your grandchildren, they're there, patient, there. If the one, these are the ones we know. I can tell you story after story. No, let's give God a hand for them. Ah, brethren, I ask myself, how can we pay it back? Eloni Masson, Baon Moshe Masson, and they're not asking for anything. They are giving, not with any hope of what you can give back. Not with any hope of what you can give back. They give, and they give, they give, and they don't want to anything. They don't have to do anything back. Father, we just worship you. We thank you for our fathers. We worship you for them. Father, we pray, oh God, that of the labor and the travail of their lives, that they will reap a full reward over their own lives, over their seed, unto the fourth generation. They will fulfill destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Because, you know, when you read the Bible, when you see people that make the Bible come alive, you should say it. It's a truth that is begging to be said. You should say it. And brethren, it behoves us to become like them. Not because they want to do back. You may not be able to do back for them, but you do back for somebody else. Beyond the call of duty, provided they're willing, they still love God, they want to make it, then you help them, you ease them, you make it easier for them. Amen. Verse 9. True fathers do not burden God's people. Even though they have the right, they don't insist. They work for long hours. No, they work. Look at verse 9. Yes. It says labor night and day. That labor night and day is not laboring in the world, though. It's physical labor. It's physical labor, that they labor with their hands, night and day. They walk into the night, you know, they do everything, and then they're in church the next morning, preaching. And then you ask yourself, we got home at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. Where did mommy get the word that she is giving this morning? So now I'm beginning to experience a little bit of that. No, the fact that you are doing secular work is not an excuse. Amen. You do that one, when you have finished that one, the same mercy will now help you to do this other one. Amen. Oh yes, so because that you have to follow after. This is what they go through to preach the gospel, so that they're preaching a give me gospel. They are financially stable because they labor with their hands. They labor with their hands. In fact, they give more than us. If they say that we should give, you know, sometimes they would have done it alone. And so God says it's not good. Let them be a part of it so that they can be blessed. So just so that we can be blessed, they bring it out to us. It's not because, no, because they want us to grow. Nobody wants their child to be a taker. The hand that gives is always above. So wise parents teach their children to give of your time, of your effort, of your substance. So that ultimately their children become like them. And then become greater than them. Because the glory of the latter house must be greater than the former. Amen. This is why the Bible says, no, these are the signs that you look for when you're talking about true ministry. The labor, the virtuous woman. The industry of the virtuous woman. She's industrious. And yet she's spiritual. She has a spirit of excellence. That's where it all comes from. It translates, the spiritual translates into the physical. You can't be all so spiritual and we can't see it in the physical things that you do. It must translate, brethren. So I'm encouraging you. I'm enjoining you. Let spirit of excellence be in what you do. Let industry be a stamp. When they say XYZ did this, you can see the hard work. You can see the thought that has gone into the work. You can see the quality of the work that has been done. You can say, this is characteristic of XYZ. That's our portion in Jesus' name. Verse 10 to 12 as we close. Verse 10 to 12. Thank you. 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also.
How holily. I didn't know that word existed. How holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Next verse. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. That's the kind of love. It's gone beyond minister and lady. It's father and children. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. All right, I'll be gentle. Next verse. That you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Thank you, sir, Pastor G. Pastor G is seeing it. Anyway, he's my big bros. Amen. All right. So why is all the gentleness there? Why is all the care there? Why is all the word there? To make us walk worthy of God who has called us unto his kingdom and glory. Brethren, there's a way to walk. There's a way to walk. You can't walk sloppily into the kingdom. There is a way you must walk for you to walk worthy. If you don't walk worthy, guess what? The kingdom will not be given to you. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So this demonstration by the apostles of their love, righteousness, justice, they wrote and said, God is our witness. Then Brianna said, even you are our witness. So God and man can witness to it. That's two witnesses. So that means it's absolutely true. It inspired the brethren to copy the example and obey the instructions. Brethren, there is a place in the Church of Jesus Christ for the force of good example. Good example is a force. It's an invisible force that makes people do the correct thing. You know, and when you are thinking of doing something wrong, you will have a dream. And in your dream, you will hear mommy's voice. Kule! You wake up and say, ha, it was just a dream. You know, I'm not going to do that thing. I will not do it. What happened? God just used the force of example. Pe to ba don wo. Don lo bi ya okere. To ba don wo. Egba. God is speaking to you in a language that you can understand. Just like your children, when they want to do something, they will think of daddy. It's still God talking, but it's the force of your example. But if you rub them on the head, you don't correct them, and you tell them, no, you make it. Sometimes when children complain and say, you are hard on me, brethren, it's a badge of good parenting. You should wear it boldly. Children, sorry. I love you. But foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Good parenting is a bad. If your children don't sometimes check and see, are you really my mom or was I born by somebody else? Yes. Is that it tells you that you are on the right path. Is it them that will tell you the correct thing you are doing, or is it God? Where is your praise coming from? But then we must not live for our children. We must not allow, of course we love our children and want the best for them. But you must not let their opinion and what they say be the thing that is guiding you and telling you that you're on the right path. Ha! You have veered off the expressway. As you want to go. We will not enter the bush in Jesus' name. When we were staying together at mommy's house, mommy was a lone voice in the wilderness. I understand that scripture. A lone voice in the wilderness. Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. She was the only one. And she did not care. Oh yes, oh. She did not care. She will say it and say it. But today now, everybody said, mommy, come and stay with us. Oh mommy, come. Oh mommy, come. Oh mommy, we need you. Oh mommy, this problem, this, that. No, they must go through the grill. You must raise them up to a certain standard so they have your value system. When they have your value system, and then you become friends on your own terms. This is the way it is. Amen.
Amen. Both spiritually and physically. That's the way it is. All right. So we have been called to God's kingdom and glory. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the total dominion of the love of God over our spirits, souls, and bodies. That is the character of Christ. It's written all over. We know the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, give us that, that God is love. And the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So really, the kingdom is love. It is that righteousness of God, no, dominating your whole soul, will, mind, emotions, dominating your whole body. It's already in your spirit if you're born again. That dominion is called kingdom. Now, that kingdom is what brings the glory. That's why I said, called to God's kingdom and glory. We have been called to the obtaining of the glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. But you know, you don't just jump from being called to getting glory. You get called, then you walk in love to show yourself worthy of the glory that has been promised you. This is how it works. Amen. I know. Look at Ephesians 4, 1 to 3 as we round up now. This is how to walk so that we can walk in the glory. We'll walk in this way in Jesus' name. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Next verse. How? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, the same way you have been forbearing. Okay? And endeavoring to what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how to walk. Will you exercise them? This scripture must be marked in your Bible. It must be marked upon your heart. All right, so you exercise that to your family at home. You exercise that in church. You exercise that everywhere you go, at work. Amen. And know that love promotes unity. All right, and brings unity of the Spirit. And it's the unity that brings the glory. Look at Psalm 133, verse 1. All right, give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. And this gentleness thing is good. Amen. All right, let's read together. Behold, how good and pleasant. He's talking about a place where the glory of God is manifest. There's goodness and pleasantness. No, it is for brethren to dwell together in. That unity is key. There must be forgiveness. There must be releasing life to others. There must be praying in tongues to distribute life. Amen. Speaking the word about others, no, thinking good about others. You know, it's basically walking in the Spirit, watching and praying frequently. That's how you maintain this. Next verse, okay? It is like the precious ointment poured upon the head. Who's the head? Jesus. That ran down on the beard. Is that same love? The ointment of love. Song of Solomon. Amen. All right. Ran down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, the first high priest. Now Jesus is our high priest. That came down upon the collar and the skirts of his garments, consecrating the whole body of Christ. Amen. Next verse. It is like the dew of lofty Mount Hermon and the dew that comes on the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore upon the high and the lowly. This is where God commands the blessing. It's that place of unity. So brethren, for us to hasten the coming of God's glory, we must walk in love, exercise forbearance, wash feet of one another, ask life for people, forgive their sins, pray for them in tongues, and gradually don't count the hurts and this they did and that they did. Release and ask life. And as we maintain that, the Bible says you are endeavoring to maintain unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's how the glory is going to come. Let us pray. Talk to God. Ask God for mercy. Repent. Love discipline and correction. Love discipline and correction. As a parent, love it. Ask God to help you. As a child, love it. It's excellent oil that will not break your head. then let's appreciate our fathers for the love and the care, for the sacrifice, for going out of their way. And how do you do that? Obey the instructions. 1 hour praying in the Spirit in the morning, 5 to 6 good morning Jesus prayers. Watch and pray frequently throughout the day. Read and study your Bible, meditate your Bible all throughout the day. Simple instructions, really, but do it with diligence, with discipline. And gradually you yourself will grow. So make that commitment to God. Renew that commitment to God. When I think upon your goodness and your faithfulness each day, I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give.
Oh Lord,
Lord, I'm grateful for your mercy.
Grateful for your grace.
My Lord, I'm grateful for your grace.
If not,
and because of how you poured out
yourself,
I have come to sing this song out in praise. Up a hand in faith. Put that hand on your heart. One left hand on your heart, right hand up in faith. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the great love with which you have loved me and the kind of fathers you have given me that have clearly demonstrated so vividly this love, this gentleness, this compassion, this care that goes beyond the call of duty. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me also to cultivate this kind of love, this kind of care, this kind of labor, this spirit of excellence, so that I also will reflect you the way the fathers have reflected you to me, so that I also will be a reflection of your love, of your excellence, of your patience, of your forbearance, and I will maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, so that we will hasten the coming of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in spirit. Father Makasandea, Jeffremiobo, Medeves, Rampakanti Keko and Mananti Kombaye, Redelevantan the Boko Toa, Wambale Masato Pekeka Sataka Komea, Wombamiman Banka Kakaya, Redelevea, Mafakto, Yedea, Rebo, Bare, Baro, Bare, Redelevea, Yuamamba Papakata, Zelebeso, Jeffremakai, Lino Mapakato and Ba, Rapakata, Zeprekeda. Say, Heavenly Father, help me to esteem my spiritual parents very highly, to love them, to encourage them, to love their seed, to encourage their seed as they have done for me. In Jesus' name, amen.